Hello and welcome to Irreverent Testimony, the political podcast from a left-wing perspective by and for millennial and Gen Xer types. It is the night of Tuesday, March 8th, 2016, and something pretty exciting is happening in the state of Michigan. With me, I have our returning friend, Molly.
Hello, everyone.
And our new friend, Nathan.
Good evening.
And Nathan was caucusing the other day in Nebraska. He's going to tell us all about that. But first, we got to talk about Michigan. Rachel's going to be joining us probably any minute. And I I only started paying attention a half hour ago because certainly the polls and the pundits and everything else told us this was going to be a huge win for Hillary. And right now, Bernie's got the lead and we're running out of votes and running out of time. And I don't know if Hillary can catch him.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of this delegate – or not the delegate – the raw vote count math, and I'm just not seeing enough votes outstanding for her to take it. I mean, we may not know the whole story, but even if – you know, I think the real story here is that even if she does come back to win it by a percent or something like that, it's not nearly the 17.7% that she was – you know, up in the aggregate polling coming into this race.
Yeah, well, let me set the stage and the perspective here. 538, who's, of course, great for doing their predictive models and forecasting and aggregate polling. 538, I'm reading – this is 4 o'clock today. According to our final Pulse Plus forecast, Hillary Clinton has a greater than 99% chance of winning the Michigan primary. 99% Clinton. Projected results, Clinton 60%, Sanders 37.5. The polling average going into today, 58.2% for Clinton, 36.9% for Sanders. So that's 22 points right there. The most recent poll they had was from Mitchell Research and Communications, which they weighted very highly. It had Clinton plus 37. There were others that were obviously really close, but the average was about 22, and 538 thought this was a no-brainer, 99%. And guess what? 538 is almost always dead on the money. This is shocking.
This is shocking, and I do think that it sets the stage for our March 15th that none of us were anticipating. If he is overperforming the polls to this extent, I don't think that we know what's coming March 15th, and I think that everyone needs to take a step back and kind of reconsider their positions.
Yeah. Let me give you the raw numbers right now as they stand. Of course, people won't be listening to this in real time, so this is more for us. But 84% in, Bernie Sanders 51% with 428,000 votes, Hillary 47% with about 397,000 votes. So I don't know how she catches him. I looked at the county by county coming in. She would have to pick up a huge chunk in Wayne County. There's still a lot out, but it doesn't seem to be enough where she's going to catch him, especially because they're still counting votes in the Ann Arbor and Grand Rapids area where he's doing really, really well. And the most shocking place in the night right now is Genesee County, where Flint is. Bernie Sanders is actually leading there.
Yep. He's leading in Flint, Michigan.
Which is shocking. Shocking, because remember, he had that supposed misstep on the debate stage where he mentioned ghettos, and the mayor of Flint was just on MSNBC complaining that she hasn't even talked to Bernie. So something is happening with his ground game and convincing a whole lot more African-American voters than expected to vote for Bernie, it would appear.
I agree, and I think, you know, one of the other things we were looking at tonight is that he won Dearborn, Michigan by – I think the last thing I saw was 24% in Dearborn. For those who kind of know the backstory, there is one of the largest areas for Middle East Arab Muslims to resettle in the United States, and it's a huge Arab Muslim community.
Isn't it the biggest in the United States?
I think if it is not the biggest, it is one of the biggest, and it is.
Voting for the Jewish guy.
And they're voting for the Jewish guy.
That's amazing.
So I think the narratives. You know, even if the delegate math doesn't shift tonight, the narratives are shifting tonight.
You would have to think so. So, Nathan, give us a little bit of your background. Tell us a little bit about you.
Oh, wow. I don't want to bore your show, but I'm just a recent transplant, actually, to Nebraska. I've only been here a couple of years.
Okay.
And which was exciting. I'm I didn't even think about when moving here I'd be able to participate in a caucus, which is pretty awesome. But I'm originally from Indiana, and I myself was pretty much a rock rib Republican up until about 2002, 2003 when I started making a switch.
Oh, really?
Hanging out with me, that's what happened.
You were a big part of it, Molly, yeah. She was one of numerous friends that kind of began to show me the light. And, as of right now, I am a big, big Bernie supporter, super excited about this evening. If Hillary thought she's going to have this locked up, well, I mean, she's not the only one. I mean, all the polls, you were actually correct, said this should have been all about her. Already my favorite meme on the interwebs has been Wolf Blitzer explaining how Bernie Sanders could possibly recover from his devastating Michigan win.
Well, here's the thing, right? We don't want to get too carried away. The numbers are still going to favor Hillary, even if Bernie's able to pull this out.
Yeah.
He's going to still net more delegates tonight, even though she crushed it in Mississippi because Michigan's got way more. But not only would this poll have to be wrong, a bunch of other polls would have to be wrong. And right now, so far, this was really the only one that was really, really wrong. But it does at least introduce the possibility that maybe some other polls in big states are completely wrong. And this thing won't be over by the 15th.
Right. And maybe the narrative is shifting. You know, I'm having such 2008 deja vu, because this is really the time where, you know, everyone said Hillary's campaign fell apart. Well, really, this was the Obama surge.
Right.
You know, it started kind of in the beginning of March, and everyone was like, what? This could actually happen. And I was living in Indiana at the time, and I was just thinking, oh, my God, this is kind of a runaway train. This could actually happen. And so I'm not going to get too far ahead and say that's what's happening. But it definitely changes a little bit my perception of how this race was going up till this point.
So, Nathan, where in Indiana are you from?
I'm from a little town called Spencer, just about a 20-minute drive from Bloomington with Indiana University.
Right. Cool. Okay, cool. Because we have a frequent guest and person whose podcast we go on named Arliss, who is in Indiana, and she likes to talk Indiana politics a lot. So I'm sure she'll be interested in hearing maybe some of your backstory if you're more interested. And then, did you live in Colorado for a time, or did you go straight from Indiana to Nebraska?
I lived in Colorado from 2005 until 2014.
Okay.
And then I moved out here to Omaha.
Omaha. Okay. I met somebody who had just moved from Omaha at my precinct, who was also going for Bernie. So that's kind of cool. You guys just kind of traded places there.
I was stunned. I was truly stunned to see the type of enthusiasm and the type of excitement for Bernie here in Omaha. I mean, of course, it's the most metro, almost only metro place in Nebraska, but it's been truly stunning.
Now, did you go just to caucus, or were you a caucus captain, or did you have any other role, or did you just participate in the process?
No, I had no official capacity. I just took the opportunity to actually participate.
Cool, cool. So we'll get to all of that certainly in a minute. As for an update, it looks like we've got 86% in, and no, she's not catching him.
Nope.
So I don't know. She could get a big late surge from Wayne County and the Detroit metro area, but I don't see how it's going to be enough at this point. And I wonder if they're going to call it soon. I think they have to.
I think they're about to, and I will say that Clinton's communication director, this is a tweet that I just read, Clinton's communication director says that Michigan was demographically advantageous for Sanders.
We weren't
hearing much about that yesterday.
No, we sure weren't. Really?
So that sounds a little
really?
Bit like a concession.
Such
oh,
a
that's definitely
analysis.
A concession, yeah. Demographically advantageous for Sanders.
Yeah, that's what the Clinton communications director just came out and said. So, well, that's some spin if I've ever heard spin.
Yeah, that is a hell of a lot of spin.
I feel a little dizzy right now.
I think everybody does. I mean, this is just shocking. I don't think I've ever seen a 538 projection of 90% or upwards that flips the other way.
Yep.
Nate Silver's going to have a lot of explaining to do. and I can't wait to hear it. But so will everybody. I mean, yep. Me too. I think you asked me earlier in the day, and a bunch of other friends too, you know, excited about Michigan. And I said, no, it's going to be a blowout.
Yep.
Because that's what all the polling said.
Yep. And I do wonder if this portends of, you know, a shift in the narrative, you know, because, you know, to Nate's, you know, Nate Silver, not Nate on the call right now, but to Nate Silver's defense, you know, his polling is only as good as the polling coming in, right? So, you know,
we can't assume that the polling was wrong. Maybe Bernie people were sandbagging to make a narrative.
I don't know if it was wrong. I wonder if things have changed, and I do, you know, if just the status of the race has changed, and if we're seeing this kind of, you know, we saw this in 2008 with Obama. There was just this. All of a sudden, it was like America woke up and they said, this is the guy we want. And it just became this tidal wave.
Here's the problem for Hillary Clinton and why I think they're going to call this any minute if they haven't already is now I'm checking Wayne County. And the more numbers that come in, it's actually tightening.
Yep.
So that's
it. She doesn't have enough. There's not enough votes left.
Nope. She was up by about 25 in Wayne County. And now it looks like 23 or 24. Yeah. So
Bernie Sanders now leads by over 33,000 votes, and in terms of raw votes, it is his biggest lead of the night. So the more that comes in, the bigger his lead gets.
And there's still a bunch out in Kent County where Grand Rapids is.
Yep.
And there's still a decent amount in Ann Arbor. So don't count your chickens before they hatch, but I think that's all she wrote. And I think
the chicken is poking its head out right now.
I am floored. I am stunned.
I am floored.
And I know that the Hillary people have to be too. Now let me tell you what I was hearing from a lot of the Bernie people in the last day or two. They said, don't look at the polls. The ground operation here is sensational.
Yep.
Something big is going to happen. Of course, you know, you always say that. People were saying that about South Carolina too.
Yeah.
But they said that unlike South Carolina, Bernie, the campaign had really invested the time and the money. And so they're sort of picking their spots, and I think they're doing it with bigger states as well, like New York and California. And that's kind of what the Bernie people have been saying.
Yeah.
Like, well, he didn't really try to compete in these southern states, but he is trying to compete, and he's putting all these resources and money in Michigan and California and New York and a couple of the other big states coming up, maybe Ohio. So if he can overperform there like he has here, oh yeah, we got a whole brand new ball game. But again, let's not go off the rails and assume that's the case.
We can't go off the rails. I know it's exciting, but we can't go off the rails quite yet.
Yeah, and one crazy state, because in 2008, New Hampshire was crazy, not this crazy, but crazy in terms of where the polling was, and a couple other states we had surprises. You always get a few surprises.
Yeah.
But this is a mammoth surprise. I mean,
this is a mammoth one. Although I have to say, Travis, I have to interrupt here because the polls just closed in Idaho, so we should be getting some Republican primary results soon. I know everyone was waiting for that one.
Well, I haven't even got to the Michigan ones on the Republican side. Trump wins. Trump was winning, so the polls held up here pretty well. Kasich and Cruz are in a pitched battle for second, with Kasich holding a very slim lead. And Rubio isn't even cracking 10%, so he gets zero delegates. The Rubio campaign is finished.
Is he done? He's finished. Does he even go to Florida?
Yeah, he goes to Florida. Well, there's controversy about that. There's controversy about that if he lost in Florida, it would be so humiliating. It might destroy his political career.
Yeah, it might.
And he actually should get out right now. But
yep.
I don't know if he's going to get out right now. If your plan was to ride this out all the way through the convention and you've dedicated 2 years of your life to this and then things change and you change your whole plans in a day or two, that's tough for someone to stomach. But now there's really no path forward. I mean, he had to do something tonight. And I haven't looked at the rest of the states yet.
As far as I understand, he got nothing tonight from anywhere.
Yeah, I know he did poorly in Mississippi, too. Oh, yeah, yeah. In Mississippi, he got 5%. That's brutal. Mm. That's brutal. Kasich even beat him in Mississippi in bright blood red, you know, home, you know, Mississippi burning Mississippi. Kasich beat Rubio. That is horrifying for Team Rubio.
Yep. But he won Puerto Rico. Yay!
He won Puerto Rico, and they said that was a game changer. Right. No results in from Idaho yet.
Oh, waiting with bated breath on that one.
Yeah, there's a few. There's a decent amount of delegates I saw. More than
really
Hawaii, which I thought they had a smaller population than Hawaii. But, you know, each party does kind of their own thing. So, Nathan, you said you're in Omaha, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I hear great things about Omaha, particularly the music scene and a lot of the culture there, and that it's almost like a mini Austin, Texas in a way. Can you speak to that? I've never been.
It really kind of is. You know, I'm moving out here. I expected some, you know, desolate cow town in the middle of the prairie. And it did not turn out that way. It really is. It's a fun city. It's a young city. There is so many museums and art houses to attend. Great music scene, great bar scene. It is a lot of fun. I mean, it's not quite Denver. It's not Denver, but yeah. it's I'm pretty happy here, actually. I never thought I would say that.
I got some breaking news, Molly, so hold on to your hat.
Okay, go.
We just jumped from 86 to 90% in. Bernie still leads, but Hillary just gained 2 percentage points on him.
Ooh, something just dropped in Wayne County.
Something just dropped in Wayne County.
Yeah.
And maybe not at the same time a bunch of votes from the other places, but if that holds up, then this could be really, really close, and it might explain why it hasn't been called yet.
But nothing – I mean, but still, I keep going back to the whole thought that even if it's close, it's still a loss for Team Hillary. I mean, you can't
– Yeah, no, but the narrative has to be – the narrative has to be – look, Bernie is still trailing the total delegate count and certainly the superdelegate count. He has to win. I don't care if it's by one vote. He has to win this. All otherwise, it can be spun as a close shave like Iowa was for Hillary.
Yeah, that's true.
It's still a great, great story, but he's got to win. And right now, the delegate lead is 24,000 – or vote lead, 24,000 votes with 9% outstanding. – But if there's another huge dump and it's all from Wayne County, then this thing could be neck and neck. But I don't know. Unfortunately, yeah. MSNBC is ahead in terms of the raw vote. But unlike the New York Times website, they're not showing me the county by county where I can see the percentages it's in.
Well, and I always go to the Daily Coast Elections page because God knows they are up to speed on the latest. And I mean, there may be enough for her to at least pull to a – you know, maybe eke out a win, but I would be shocked if she did at this point.
Well, let me go to Daily Coast Elections and see what they have to say. They just updated a few minutes ago.
Yeah, because they're saying that if there's enough, you know, you just have to start wondering if there's enough favorable turf even left out there. And if it is favorable, it's going to have to be damn favorable.
Yeah, let me see what their results page – oh, they're just linking to the New York Times one.
Yeah. So I have to brag about Nate for a second here.
Yes,
on the call.
Go ahead. Please do.
So Nate's selling himself a bit short here. He is one of the smartest and most incisive political minds I know, and has a lot of great insight into the history and the politics of America. So I think he sells himself short sometimes on how brilliant he is.
Wow, you're making me blush out here.
That's the point, but it's true. I've known you a long time, and I know how smart you are.
Well, either Nate will have to expand on that, or you'll have to expand on that, Molly, and get him to jump in.
I'm going to let him jump in.
Well, as far as this Michigan primary goes, Travis, I really do have to agree that, campaigns are not won by second place finishes. He absolutely has to win. If he does win this, yes, there is momentum back. And you hear that said a lot by a lot of different pundits, a lot of different sites. You know, the momentum is waning. Well, the momentum itself is not waning. In terms of the energy of the campaign, at least from what I am seeing and hearing, but it's not being translated into the electoral victories that have to happen. And he's the one that needs to pull this off. You're right. It has to be by one vote. It is shocking. And it should make Hillary and Hillary's campaign a little nervous at this point. You know, what else could happen? This does set a precedent that nothing is solid for her any longer. Bernie's ground game is outstanding. But again, without jumping into the excitement here and getting in over our heads, one way or another, this is stunning. A victory would be fantastic. It was this time back in 2008, even though Obama was not even a name on the primary in Michigan. This is where she started to fall apart.
Yep.
And she has got to be seeing those shadows lurking behind her again. Here's hoping that we can actually pull something off. Daily Coast just updated again, as I just saw.
Yep.
50.3 to 47.6 for Hillary.
Yeah, I think they're using older numbers, though, than what MSNBC has got, which is rare. MSNBC is usually behind, but MSNBC is up to 92% in, and I think they're using the New York Times feed, which is only at about 82%.
Oh, bother
indeed. But I think with the time difference now, I figured out where a lot of her bump came from. A bunch of Wayne County did drop just a few minutes ago, and a bunch of Genesee County dropped, and Hillary has taken back the advantage there, but not by a ton. It's still neck and neck, which is still unbelievable as far as I'm concerned in Flint. But Wayne County, she's holding on to about a 33,000 vote lead, about an 18% differential. So again,
do we know, Travis, how much of Wayne County is left to report?
Not much. As of with 80% reporting, we have about 250 precincts still out, which is a sizable amount, but I don't know. It's not enough. From what the numbers I'm looking at, it's not enough to catch them, even if everything else was counted, and it's not, because you still have a lot of votes to count in Ann Arbor.
Yep.
And you still have a ton of votes in Grand Rapids, unless those appeared on the MSNBC count already. So, and now his lead has actually gone up again with 92%. It's back up to 3%. So I'm about ready to call it.
Here's a shocking statistic. I'm digging a little deeper into the numbers here, you guys.
The exit polling?
The exit polling numbers. And it is looking like – and this is shocking to me. It's looking like – Clinton won female voters in so far in the state of Michigan only 52 to 46%.
Yeah, that's not that shocking to me, really.
I mean, that to me is like, I expected that to be higher. I did, and he is you know, age is no surprise. He's winning the under 44 demographic, and she's handily winning the over 45.
I am a little surprised. I did expect that to be a little bit bigger. I did think that she would hold about 60 or over 60 in women, quite frankly. That's when I also thought that Michigan was just going to be a runaway for her anyway.
Yeah, and she's winning the black vote, it looks like, in Michigan at this point, 65 to 30.
Which is big, but not nearly as big as it was in the South, where it was like 90 to 10.
Yep. So that's not as big of a spread as we saw in the South.
Not at all. Not at all. And you would have thought it would have gone the other way based on at least what the pundits were saying about his Flint performance. But apparently that's not the case. He did much, much better here with African Americans. Now he still needs to improve on that. Or if he can hold that into places like New York and California, then he's got a real shot. I'm really interested to see what the Hispanic breakdown is. I have to think, based on this, he did really, really well tonight, though.
Yeah, and it's not showing. It's showing that Latino men and Latino women only made up a 1% of the vote total.
Oh, really?
But that could be very preliminary. I have no idea where in the count.
The state, it's more like 5 or 6%, I thought.
Yeah. So I don't know how much of the voting, you know, how much of the primary voters is, you know, included in these statistics so far. This is preliminary. This is not finalized. But he's winning. So Sanders won white women 51 to 47.
Yep.
Or is winning. And then Clinton won black women 64 to 31. which again is not as big of a spread.
No. That was really Bernie's blind spot. It's like I said, it's been 90-10 in most of these southern states.
Yep.
So do you have any age breakdown numbers there, Molly?
Yeah, I do. Age is looks to me so far. He is crushing it with the 18-24 demographic, which was 12% of the electorate, which is a pretty good turnout.
Only 12% in Michigan?
12% in Michigan.
18-24, you said?
18-24.
And that's pretty good.
That's pretty good, actually. That's what I was saying. And then 25-29 was 9%.
Add that up and that's over 20%. Yep,
that's good. That's over 20%.
And that's better than he's been doing in the South.
And he won that huge 87-13.
That's a killer.
In the 18-24 demographic and then 74-24 in the 25-29. He wins the 30-39 demographic by 62-37.
Wow.
40-49, Clinton is winning 58-39. So there's your generational gap right there.
There's also a geographical gap here because Mississippi 83-16, that's even crazier than South Carolina was.
Yeah. That's true.
That's just nuts.
And then 50-64 years, this is interesting. She is actually winning the 50-64 demographic by less percentage than the 40-49.
That is interesting.
Yeah, so she won them 56-39, but not as big as the 58% that she won the 40-49. And then 65 and over, she killed it, 69-30. So there's your...
Here's an interesting stat about Mississippi. Turnout, obviously what's going to be a bright, bloody red state. Turnout, about even, Democrats and Republicans.
Wow. That's interesting. I don't think we've seen anything like this race. I mean, I think I said that back in 2008, and that was true at the time. But even that was a more typical presidential race than what we're looking at right now with Donald Trump, the presumptive GOP nominee. Unless they stage a massive coup and rip the GOP apart, I don't see how he's not.
I think that's the only chance now, right?
I mean, I don't know how else they would do that except go to a brokered convention and take it from him.
They would have to do that because it's not going to be close enough.
No, there's nobody that's close enough unless all of them dropped out, got behind Cruz. But I don't even think there's enough left even at that point.
Well, actually, I mean, I would – just to jump in quickly on that, what has been the highest percentage that Trump has won of a primary so far?
That's a good question.
Percentage? You mean the percentage he got, or percentage next to the next runner-up?
The highest percentage that he has won in a Republican primary to date.
I don't think he's top 40.
No, he did top 40. Yes. I think somewhere he hasn't top 50. I don't think.
Oh, okay, he hasn't gotten the 50. Okay,
he is not top 50. And as I recall correctly, tonight would actually be his highest showing in Mississippi at 48%, roughly.
That sounds about right. Early returns from Idaho show Cruz with a lead over Trump, Rubio third, and So, but that's
Rubio.
That's it's only 5% in. So,
and so if Trump never breaks that magic 50%, I have a hard time thinking that Kasich folks, when he does finally drop, are going to throw their weight behind Trump. And while there would most certainly be a split of some sort amongst Rubio supporters, I still sense the majority of them are going to go to Cruz as well. Now, that in addition to therefore having the more swing votes going to him, the momentum of his campaign building, and the Republicans wishing to avoid a brokered convention would engineer it so that Cruz would in fact get the nomination.
My guess is that would be much harder than it sounds on the surface for a couple reasons. First off, when you say Republicans want, that is completely different when we're talking about Republican establishment and Republican voters. Clearly,
you are so very correct.
And the second point I would make is, let's assume that Rubio gets out before humiliating himself in Florida, and Kasich gets out after Ohio, or whatever. Why are we going to assume that all of their voters are going to go to Cruz? I think a decent enough chunk of them would go to Trump, regardless of who they endorse.
And you could be very much correct. I guess the point I was more getting at was, I mean, Trump does appear to be the presumptive nominee. That's yeah. Everyone is voicing that. That's what everyone's jumping on. But he has yet to clear 50% anywhere. And is as negative and as just childish as these debates amongst themselves have been to up to this point. As brutal and as insulting as Trump has been to his opponents, and in several cases them to him, I do believe that a bunch of people will stick with Trump simply because he is the now presumptive nominee. But I do not think it is by any means certain. It is far easier for me to say that than to actually make it happen in practice. But when your distinction that you pointed out earlier is what the Republicans want. I was talking about the RNC and the Republican establishment. And
well, I mean, do they want a brokered convention at this point, though? Because that really seems to be the only way to stop Trump.
Well,
here's
my question to piggyback on that, Molly. If there are hopes or whispers of a brokered convention, why would any of the three other get out?
Right.
Why not me be the second ballot guy or the third ballot guy?
Yep.
I mean, if we're going to throw away the delegate counts anyway, you know, then why the hell not John Kasich?
I'm kidding. But I think that there's like, again, I feel like we're playing a game that we don't know how the board is set. I don't know that we've ever really – I mean, and I shouldn't say ever because I'm not a student of American history as much as I probably should be. But it just doesn't feel to me, at least in modern times, we've had this – I mean, are we witnessing the dissolution of a modern American political party? Is that what's happening right now? Because it feels to me like maybe that is.
Well, Nathan, why don't you chime in on that and also what you think of this idea that – if there is hope or thought of a brokered convention, then why would any of the other three get out?
Well, to the second point, I would see Kasich simply doing it in order to not be a part of that whole process at all.
Do you mean getting out?
If there is a possibility of a brokered convention in the future, Kasich, for one, I don't think would wish to be part of the brokered convention process. He would not want to have his name in. He would not throw his weight. He would simply opt out of the entire election cycle after his initial quitting of the campaign. And he is going to quit, and he's not going to stick in there until the very end. Because even if there are chances of other names being thrown in there, his is not going to be one. Rubio most certainly, if there is talk of a brokered convention, could stick in there and hope by some miracle to throw his name in, and people will get so tired of having to choose between these two gentlemen, Cruz and Trump, that they will throw their weight behind him. I do have to fall back on what Molly said as well, in that we have not seen this in such a long time, certainly living memory.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm 34 years old. My living memory is a little less.
hey, now.
But we have not seen this. I mean, everything, it almost feels as if anything that is said could be as equally possible as anything else.
Yep.
However ridiculous that may sound. Travis, what was the first the first point you had brought up?
The first point I brought up, I don't remember.
Well, we had two points. We were talking about whether or not the GOP establishment wanted a brokered convention and how that was going to look. And then we had the conversation about have we ever seen this before, just the whole dynamic on both sides of the aisle.
Not since Calvin Coolidge, maybe, where they really had a brokered convention.
Is that like hashtag throwback right there? Because that's
I should be.
Yeah, I'm seriously trying to remember. I think that's
well, we had one on the Democratic side in '68, right?
Yes,
with McGovern.
Yeah,
not exactly like this though.
Okay.
No, again, nothing. I don't think have been quite exactly like this. As far as the Republican possible disillusionment of a American political party, dear God, I hope so.
Well, you know, I heard a Republican strategist on the other day, and he made a really good point because they brought this up, and he said, "Well, yeah, there's a lot of issues, controversy right now with the presidential election, but the Republican Party's doing just fine at the state and the local level everywhere." Yeah. And he's right. There's no disillusionment there, unless Trump has such a disastrous effect down ticket that they just get wiped out locally at the state level. And I'm not that optimistic about that happening, just because the Democratic Party is just still so disorganized and doesn't have the funding at so many state and local levels. But I don't know about the entire disillusionment of the party, but where they want to go as far as presidential politics, it's going to be a mess. And there will be a, quote, crack up if the Republican Party is that short-sighted and dumb. I mean, they're short-sighted and dumb enough that we have Trump as their presumptive nominee. But if they were to usurp Trump, first of all, you think Trump is going to go quietly?
Nope.
And do you think his supporters are going to go quietly?
I think we would have
– It would be a riot.
Real riots. Not like the, you know, not like the metaphorical, like, no, like, I really think that
fist fights on the floor of the convention. And where's the convention? Yep. Is it in
Cleveland. Cleveland, Ohio.
Hello, Cleveland. Okay.
Hello, Cleveland.
Yeah. That would be something. Trump would not bow out.
Nor would his supporters.
Nor would his supporters.
They're making – I mean, we saw the other day. They're making oaths of loyalty, raising their right hands in some fascistic format. So
Only knows what could happen.
We're not going to – these and you know what? And the scary part about this is even if Trump is not elected, which I think we can safely say that – I hope we can safely say that that's not going to happen.
No. I don't think we can safely say that.
His supporters still aren't going anywhere. We still have to contend with whatever this is that has happened in our politic. I don't know what this is, but it's something that is unseemly and disturbingly violent. And it feels a little loose right now, and I don't know where it's going to land.
I can fairly safely say that there's no chance Trump could win the presidency. I hope I'm not proved wrong, but I've went over this before in another podcast. Just looking at the numbers he would need to win in terms of percentage of African American, percentage of women, percentage of Hispanics, it just doesn't add up to me. No matter what happens to Hillary, short of her like getting dragged out in cuffs by the FBI during the convention during her acceptance speech, can't imagine a scenario. I'm still in my Hillary's going to be the presumptive nominee mode. But whoever it is, it's hard for me to imagine a bullied, racist jerk. I mean, even if you are just your typical independent voter, a know-nothing, loudmouth jerk is not somebody you want to vote for president, even if you deeply detest Hillary Clinton. Yep. You would look at the both of them on stage and said, well, one of them I'm confident at least knows what they're doing, even if I don't like her. This guy has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah, and demographically, there's just nothing in his favor. I mean, there's really –
there's angry white guys, but there's not enough angry white guys.
There's not enough of them to nominate someone president. We found that out in 2008, and that's going to be borne out for the next, several generations. And I think that's something – I mean, my whole stance about, I don't want to veer too far off, but with the whole Supreme Court nomination holdup, this is really their last chance to affect policy on this national level. Yeah, they're doing great locally and at state level, but on the national level, they're kind of a dying party. They don't have a lot of clout, and when their redistricting nightmare ends in 2020, all bets are off. And so losing the Supreme Court for a generation or more is a huge blow to whatever platform it is that they stand on these days. I'm not even sure what that is even anymore.
Well, they know that, and since they'd be terrified of that, and if they feel like I do, Trump is completely unelectable, who's to say that they won't do something crazy at the convention just to get anybody but Trump in there? But I want to go back to Nathan for a second, because he disagreed with this notion that Trump has absolutely no chance. And I guess I want him to chime in with his opinion on that.
And I don't want in any way to pass that on as I believe that he most certainly will be, or even any way that he should. But rather simply that while you can look at two different candidates and say, yes, one could be a better president and one would be a buffoon or someone that can't be present, or someone that can't affect change. Even that is somewhat appealing when you're speaking to a group of people that don't want the government to do anything.
Well, that's true, but those people were always going to vote Republican anyway.
Yeah.
Where's the big crossover vote he would need? Where's the independents he would need? You know, where are the women he would need? Where are the Hispanics he would need? I mean, that portion you're talking about, Nathan, I think is baked in. But do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree at all. I think that that portion is, as you said, baked into the Republican Party itself. But here's I guess what is kind of in the back of my head and just kind of seething is the vast hatred that still exists for a Clinton period. And that is mobilizing. And while this is the demographics of the country are swinging towards the Democrats, this is the last hurrah of the angry white man. They're not going to get another chance, and they know they will not get another chance. And while historically there are typically more registered Democrats in the country, historically Republicans are the ones that vote more often.
Yeah, and, agreed.
And you can't forget, and it's been mentioned a couple of times, the Republicans out and out control 32 to 34 states in the union.
Yep.
On every level of the state. Their party machines are wide, they are good, they are organized, even down to families. And I could speak to that growing up in small town Indiana, where the same three families control every aspect of city, local, town, city, county government for
right.
generations. It's embedded. I do not believe this is going to be a landslide election for the Democrats, regardless of whether or not it is Hillary or Bernie. And as much as I love Bernie, I am still somewhat terrified of him running in a general when that hated S word in American culture gets thrown around so often.
Yeah.
And I don't think that is going to benefit him in a general. I certainly don't believe it is disqualifying, certainly not like it would have been 20 years ago. But if there is anything to mobilize, what is left of a Republican, what they like to call themselves, a silent majority. I don't think they've been too silent recently.
And I don't think they're too much of a majority too recently either, but go ahead.
No, and they're most certainly not. And they never were. That's kind of the joke behind the whole silent majority rhetoric. If there's anything that can unite what is left of a demographic to show up in vast numbers to make it a closer election, then this is it. I mean, this is the last hurrah of the angry white man that can get the numbers needed to give what is going to be the next generation of American politics a run for its money. In the long run, we will win. The culture war is swinging to the left. We're so close. It always seems like we're just so close to making it to that last of the last coup de grace to call the culture war over in favor of, well, frankly, our side. But then we see what we saw in that oath pledge to Trump recently. We see these nasty things of the endorsements by KKK members. These are portions of the country that have felt disenfranchised, that have felt they've had no say, and they haven't had any say in mainstream political culture, and have not been participatory up to this point. Well, now they are.
Yeah.
And that's what scares me. And I only say that I believe it is possible for there to be a Trump presidency because I do not see the landslide win for the left that we would hope to have. And I'm sorry for that rant.
No. That's good stuff. Let me make two counterpoints to it, though.
Can I interrupt for 1 second? Just say that the AP has called Michigan for Bernie Sanders.
Woo!
Outstanding.
That is unbelievable.
So, your counterpoint. Sorry to interrupt.
Unbelievable. I can't believe it. I mean, 99% on 538 Hillary
yep.
Clinton win turned on its head. That is unprecedented, I believe.
Yep,
but the counterpoints are this. There's a lot of resentment now within the Republican Party. And if Trump is the eventual nominee, yeah, he's going to get those angry white guys and a lot of people who have sat out maybe the last election or two. And yep, MSNBC just called it.
Yep.
I don't know that he builds a coalition. He builds enough of a coalition that he will be a legitimate, you know, in the two-party system. Yeah, it's not going to be a Reagan sweep or anything like that for Hillary or Bernie, certainly. But does he build a strong enough of a coalition? I'm not sure he does. And B, you're talking about an anti-Hillary mobilization. There is going to be one hell of an anti-Trump mobilization, and it's happening already.
Yeah.
I've read about five different articles from the last few weeks that Hispanics and immigrants and are people with visas and green cards are rushing to get their citizenship done just so they can vote against Trump. A new wave of immigrants who could have voted and hasn't in the last several elections, I guess they're not a new wave of immigrants, but they've been in the United States for a while, are registering to vote, and they've never wanted to vote before. I think you see a lot of African Americans getting on board with the same way now, and I think this is indicative of what's happening in some of these southern states, where not only is Hillary crushing, but turnout is actually matching the Republicans. Yes, there's something going on the Republican side with Trump. There's something going on against Trump, too, and I think that will manifest itself. But does that mean it's going to be – I would like to put on my partisan hat and pretend that, yeah, it'll be like a 40-state sweep, but I'm realistic enough to know that's likely not going to happen. But still, when I look at the map and see the states that Trump has to flip, think with those demographics in mind, it just seems completely hopeless to me. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I'm not discounting what you're saying as being in the realm of fantasy, certainly.
Well, thank you. I mean, and in every single point, I totally get and I appreciate. It's just when I look at a electoral map and you have the already, you know, preordained blue states, the preordained red states.
Sure. And you're talking about Florida, Pennsylvania, Virginia, you know, Colorado, New Mexico, Nevada, basically. A couple other states. Ohio.
You can never forget
Ohio.
Never, ever
count out Ohio.
And also Virginia. Remember, Virginia was something of a surprise in 2008 and then again in 12. I mean, suddenly Virginia is now a blue state. Outstanding.
Yep, or at least purple.
But a tenuous blue state.
A tenuous.
It's purpley. Yeah, it's purple.
It's purpley, just like Colorado.
Yeah.
And Colorado is even more rural, I mean, as a purple state. So
I think Colorado's a little safer than people think. But
yeah, I think for this – I mean, if it's Trump, I think Colorado's pretty safely blue. But –
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. Having been out for a couple of years, I'm a bit more out of touch with Colorado.
Yeah.
I mean, North Carolina was fantastic in 2008. That's not going blue again.
Well, I don't know about that either.
Really?
They are really pissed at McCrory there, and they're really pissed at their governor and their senator. There is a lot of pushback against a lot of the voter ID stuff, a lot of the women's reproductive rights stuff. There has actually been quite a very strong campaign to get new voters registered and involved. So I wouldn't count out North Carolina necessarily either. But it's a state that Democrats can afford to lose. It's not a state that Republicans can afford to lose.
Yeah, that's true. The electoral
– go ahead,
Nate. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
I was just going to say that the the demographic and the electoral map, you know, it looks strong for Democrats this year, you know, especially in the Senate, which we haven't really gotten to yet. But I think is as important, if not more important, than what's going on in the White House. You know, it looks strong. But I think, you know, again, I think we go back to what we're talking about in that we don't know how the board is set. We don't know what, you know, there's no way. It doesn't feel to me like history is the best predictor of what this election is going to be like, because we simply don't have a frame of reference for what we're experiencing with this election. We've never had a candidate like Donald J. Trump.
We haven't had a candidate in a long time like Bernie Sanders either.
No, we haven't.
And we've never had a woman being a major party. So this is really a weird, bizarre.
We've never had a first lady run for the White House.
We've never had a first
man. None of this has ever –
in House of Cards maybe, but
– Well, hey now, I'm not caught up. Stop.
No, I haven't skipped ahead. No worries.
So, I mean, I think both of you have really great points in that. Yeah, we like look at Nate Silver tonight. I mean, look at what we saw happen. It's like every conventional wisdom, every poll, everything that we had said that this particular thing was going to happen.
Yeah, and isn't this in the most advanced polling metrics and math and a team of math geeks looking at everything? Yeah,
that exists in the world, and yet it still was defied by the chaos of human nature. And so I don't know that we're ever going to, you know, I don't know what this election is going to be. And I think we are wise to heed the warnings of, you know, not considering a Trump presidency to be a complete outlier or something that could never happen, because it could.
I want to touch on a couple other things. And then before we go, I want to get Nate's caucus story. But Hawaii, there's no results in yet. Idaho with 25% in. Cruz is leading with 39%. Trump with 31%. Lil Marco with 19%, Kasich with 7%, and Carson's got a few votes, even though he did officially finally drop out, right? Because I know he dropped out, and
he's suspended. Michigan,
yep.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. Mr. Valium himself.
Mr. Something. But anyway, yeah, so Bernie wins Michigan. That's huge. I can't even really wrap my head around it yet, because I did not feel 2 hours ago it was even a possibility. And I think the Clinton campaign may have actually felt the same way, but I don't know what their internal polling showed. Certainly the rest of the country thought this was going to be an easy Clinton win and set the table for the rest of the big states where polls show her leading big, but now you can't trust those polls. So this is going to be really interesting. Every big state coming up.
Yep.
And now we got to look forward to the 15th, which is going to be a monster, monster day.
Yep. We're hanging out. This is going
to
be big.
We'll live stream, but Nathan, go ahead and tell us a little bit about your Nebraska caucus experience, because that's originally what we thought we were going to talk about until Bernie turned this whole thing on its head.
Hey, it may have been my experience, but the Bernie's win Michigan is the more exciting thing.
It's the talk of the town, for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. Being able to actually attend a caucus, first of all, never thought I'd live in a state that would hold one.
Yeah, same here.
That was amazing. I had no idea what to expect. Our caucus had about 600 people that attended.
Okay.
And our district LD7 represented downtown and southern Omaha, which is young white and large minority Hispanic.
Oh, okay.
Or Latino. Strong union support. It broke down roughly before we ever got started in this high school auditorium, about 2/3 Bernie, 1/3 Hillary. And the process began. There were a total of six votes hand counted, and took about 4.5 hours.
Let me back up a second. So there's 600 people in your district that all showed up to vote. You didn't break up into precincts or smaller groups. You did a whole big thing with all 600 people? Is that what you're saying?
Correct. This was the smallest denomination of precinct that you could get. And we had 600 people show up.
So that's how they did it in Kansas as well. Here they break everybody up into little tiny precincts, and you have about, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 per precinct. The downside of that is you need hundreds and hundreds of precinct chairs, and a lot of them aren't trained and don't know what they're doing. So, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. But I'm sorry to interrupt. Go on.
Oh no, not at all. And I will give the Democratic host of this caucus kudos. It was as well organized and practiced as something done only every 4 years can be. They knew the process. They did their homework. They had a rules chair who called out a couple of minor discrepancies a couple of times, and hey, that's what they're for. So that was well done. But you know, it separated between sides. There was an independent portion of Hillary, an O'Malley. There were two O'Malley supporters still there.
They obviously didn't meet threshold.
They did not meet threshold with the first vote. Neither did about 10 write-ins. 17 independents managed to give a speech and basically wanted everyone to get along in November one way or another. And that's what was really interesting about the interaction and the differences between the two camps into which really divided between Bernie and Hillary. The 2/3 that were the Bernie side were certainly much more diverse, much younger, and so much more enthusiastic. Everything was a chant and a clap and a cheer and a howl and a yell. And the Hillary folks just kind of, you know, went through the motions of clapping. I thought it'd be a really fascinating stark difference.
Huh.
The only real drama that occurred over the course of these six hand-counted votes were two, you know, staunch, very well-spoken Hillary supporters who stood up and nearly breaking into tears, begged all of the Bernie folks to come and make sure that they show up in November to vote for Hillary when it matters.
Good, I'm glad. And how did that go over?
I was pleasantly surprised. There was a cheer went up. Yes, of course. Yes, of course. We are all Democrats. We are all progressives.
Doesn't that just go to show that when it gets down to brass tacks in real life, the vast majority it does seem to feel that way, and then you wouldn't think that if you just hung out on Twitter or the Daily Coast comment sections. Like the most partisan for a person in a primary race, people are the ones that are always online, and then, you know, the real life ones are not, maybe not so much, or, you know, maybe that's just my fantasy world, and there's way more divisiveness than, but it seems like it was that way everywhere. It was that way in all of our caucus sites. It was that way for our friend in Kansas. It was that way for you in Nebraska. So hopefully that's the case everywhere, but sorry again, go on.
Oh, it's fine. You're absolutely right. It's really, you know, you read, you hear the pundits speak, the talking heads, the articles about the pouty, petulant children of Bernie supporters who just won't go and support Hillary come the election. And, you know, I have to admit, there was part of me who was afraid that might be the case. Until you actually get out there and you interact and you see how these different campaigns, while they have their differences, while they have their own goals, know that in the end they are going to come together. That frankly, for me, just put any fear that those Bernie supporters – Should it happen that Hillary gains the nomination, will in some way abandon her and allow a Trump or a Cruz candidacy to go unchallenged? I do not believe that to be the case. Any fear I had is alleviated. It was really great to see that come together. And it was good to hear someone just frankly say, hey, please don't do this. We know there's been talk of it. Is it really true that you guys would? And we responded, of course not. How good. Silly is that to think?
Yeah. Now, of course, that's in a state, Nebraska, that's probably not going blue any time in the next 10 to 20 years, probably. But still, it's the whole point is the essence of it, right?
Correct. It is the people involved. It is the groundswell of support. I mean, perhaps, you know, every single progressive in Omaha was there that day, and that's who they were, and that's all there was. But regardless, the fact that these differing campaigns, just as a spot check, if you had said of folks in Kansas and in Texas, had the same experience. It does make you wonder where this idea that the vast majority of Bernie supporters would not vote for Hillary in November, you know, how that really gained traction. Is that simply from a lack of understanding of who the supporters
online.
Are? I'm sorry?
I was just going to say, it feels to me like it's just online, like what's been circulating the Twitterverse. And, you know, I think it goes back to Travis's point that the poison well really exists in cyberspace.
Well, there was some of that Rachel reported at her site. So there's some of it in the flesh. But I think, yeah, it does give you a different perspective. I think it is much more amplified online. And I think that's kind of the nature of online, right? You could be just a caustic, awful, miserable asshole because you're behind a computer screen.
Yeah, because there's no one to call you out. Or is there also a certain stereotype of who people think the Bernie supporters would be? You know, these 20-somethings who just want to legalize all the drugs and get free stuff. If they don't get what they want, of course they're just going to stay home. That's who they are.
Now, some of the spin from the Hillary people is coming in already. Michigan, it was an open primary. But the Republicans had theirs tonight, too. So if you wanted to go and be a sort of a troll for Bernie, that means you couldn't vote on the Republican side. And is there really that many that were going to do that?
No. And in fact, I was looking at the turnout numbers, and the Republicans had a significantly higher turnout number than the Democrats.
Sure. So I can't imagine that there were all that many crossover votes for Bernie. But I would like to see exit polling in terms of people that call themselves independent. And I bet Bernie won a big chunk of them.
Yeah, that definitely says something.
But go ahead, Nathan.
I'm sorry, Molly. What was what were the turnout numbers between Republicans and Democrats?
Just doing the math up there, and it looked like it was about, I'm probably off by 10,000 or so, but it looked like it was about 1.4 million. For the Republicans, and then just over a million for the Democrats.
I think it's a little closer than that. With 92% counted, it looks like 1.2 for Republicans, 1.08 for Democrats. So, it's still a decent bit of difference, which I don't think Michigan's going red. So, you can get excited about that as you want. But Republicans had themselves one hell of a nice turnout. Again, that's this part of this Trump, pro-Trump, anti-Trump deal right now.
Totally agree. It's a celebrity thing at this point.
And Cruz and Kasich are neck and neck. It looks like Cruz is going to edge him out for second. And Trump wins and wins handily. So this was supposed to be start of the Trump downfall. Doesn't seem to have been happening tonight. So, Nathan, just some of your closing thoughts on your caucus experience in Nebraska before we shut it down here.
Oh, sure thing. If you have an opportunity, if you're listening and you're in a state where caucuses happen, make sure that you do it. It is truly democracy in action among those who truly care and can actually express their views. Absolutely go do it. You know, democracy in action is tedious, and that's part of the point too. Is that you have to make sure that you are accurate and that you're expressing thoughts that matter, and you're trying to sway people towards who you want to be the best candidate that there can be. So if you're out there, do it, experience it. It was well performed. I was so pleased to be able to collect the literature and speak with people. I actually spoke to an O'Malley supporter. I mean, they did exist. They were there, and it was great to hear their views about, why he should have been. Well, that's wonderful, but I wouldn't have gotten that anywhere else. It really was a special experience. A caucus is a fun thing. I'm glad that I did it, and, maybe we can just speed it up with some newer iPad counting mechanism sometime down the road.
Exactly, right?
Okay, yep. So just a look ahead. We got the Virgin Islands for the Republicans coming up on but that's only like 9 delegates. District of Columbia on Saturday, that's not a large number either. Guam for the Republicans on Saturday as well. Again, that's a tiny number. And the North Mariana Islands on Saturday for the Democrats, also a tiny number. And then the big day for everybody is the 15th. Florida for both, Illinois for both, Ooh. Missouri for both, North Carolina for both, Ohio for both.
Oh, my God.
So that's super whatever day of the week that is.
Tuesday
another again,
Super Tuesday part two.
Probably Super-er Tuesday.
I think this will be Super-er.
I think it's going to be Super-er.
To be honest. This is going to be like Christopher Reeve and Henry Cavill sort of like morph together into one. but anyway, that's about going to do it for us. We got so much happening. Rachel and I will be on tomorrow morning with Will McLeod from the Hopping Mad podcast, going sort of off election topic a little bit. I'm sure we'll talk about Bernie for a hot minute, but we're going to talk about LGBT issues. And oh, Rachel's calling in. Hold on. Let me add her to the group.
Oh, good Lord.
Hello, Rachel.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, sorry about that.
Yeah, we were actually almost about to sign off, but you're here, and yeah, you're here, and Nathan is here, and I'm here, and Molly's here. Can everybody hear Rachel?
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, how are you doing over there? Did you hear something happened in Michigan tonight?
Well, I was just talking to my conservative father about the primaries, and I have a couple of things to report.
Oh, boy.
I know. I know.
Shoot. It's all you. Stage is yours.
Well, so Trump everything, right?
Yeah.
Primarily from what he said, you know, Trump is the anti-establishment, and he sort of...
The anti-Christ, mm-hmm. the anti-all things that are good.
And, like, mittens for him, Mitt Romney.
He's taking my gerbs.
Dana's back there, too, it sounds like.
Yeah. Mitt Romney was, like, the worst thing they could do, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. I was going to mention that. Like, them parading out Mitt Romney, saying, hey, don't vote for Trump, guys, that's not going to hurt Trump.
No. In fact, it helps him, right? Because they're like, no, you're everything that's wrong. Trump's everything that's right. So
Yeah.
It's going to
embolden them.
Yeah, it absolutely emboldened them. Like, in a way that's really crazy. So, Trump's king. Even though he sort of emasculates the entire Republican Party,
they've been waiting for somebody to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
People like your dad.
Yeah.
Well, how about Bernie, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I asked about that. I asked about Bernie, and I asked about, like, you know, but Bernie, like, he's the other Trump guy, right? He's the other non-establishment guy. How do you feel about that?
He's the funhouse mirror.
And my dad, as the guy that you're looking for, said, like, Bernie is a joke. Right?
Well, I don't know that the voters in Michigan think that tonight.
I agree, Molly. Thanks. And I'm super excited to hear that that was not the case. But for the Republican voter base, Bernie is a joke. And Hillary is the presumptive nominee. Mm-hmm. And all they want to talk about is how to take her down.
And so they kind of got a blind spot. Yeah, go ahead.
Surprise guest. I would say that the way that a lot of people feel about Donald Trump, there's a significant portion of the population that feel that way about Bernie Sanders. Like, he's not serious.
Well, they don't know him yet.
Right.
Right.
Like we were talking about earlier today, I mean, there are a number of people who only know him from the debates and do not know his historical significance and or, you know, what has been going on for the last, like, 35 years in Bernie Sanders' life.
Yeah, so it was a really interesting conversation in terms of, like, why do I support Donald Trump? Yeah? And the reasons are that he is strong.
Okay.
He is a person who will get things done.
He's got big, strong hands.
And...
Well, I do have some other breaking news. We have some other numbers to report. We have ethnicity estimates for our friend Anna.
Yeah.
Should I announce these on the air? Would she rather?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Please, go ahead.
Okay. We have less than 1% North African, 99% European, 39% Great Britain, 33% from Ireland, 10% Finland, Northwest Russia, 6% Western European, 3% Italy, Greece, 2% Scandinavia, 1% Iberian Peninsula, and 1% European Jewish. Right, welcome to the tribe. That gets you in. That's all you need.
What is so, that for?
Our friend Anna had just she's obviously very excited about the Michigan primary tonight.
Oh.
She just got her her DNA breakdown of her ancestry, and she
decided the Bernie electorate. I was like, what?
No. That's our friend Anna, her ethnicity breakdown, and she decided to share that with us just now. So I just shared it with the entire internet.
Well, congratulations, Anna.
And now we know what a Bernie bro looks like.
What does a Bernie bro look like?
Well, I didn't write down your numbers, but 39%.
Oh, is Anna a Bernie bro? She didn't strike me.
No, Anna's not a Bernie bro. Let's not be hysterical here.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Anyway.
She's undecided even after the primaries.
Anyway, yeah. Go ahead, Trev.
No surprise there. A lot of British and Irish there. You know. So she's a ginger, so.
I was going to say, did they test to see if she had a soul or not?
Yeah, that's more expensive, that test.
That's an expensive test.
Yeah. But anyway, we're about going to wrap it up here, because I'm sorry, Rach, you kind of jumped in when we were an hour and a half in, so we kind of have to wrap it up a little bit. But I was talking about what time are we on with Will tomorrow morning?
It's going to be noon our time.
Well, it doesn't matter for the podcast people, because they get it when they get it.
Right.
But...
Nobody cares about your schedule, people.
Not yet. Not until we're on Netroots. But
I'm so sorry I was not able to join you earlier.
That's okay.
That's
okay. We held it down.
We missed you guys. Did you guys get to the results tonight about Michigan and Minnesota and Maine and basically all the M states?
No, we totally forgot about it, and we were just actually talking about the next Star Wars. We're thinking, how much Luke is going to be in it, and
apparently, what about Kylo Ren? Starts.
Oh man, this is going down a bad spiral.
All the M states apparently were kind of in the mix today, and everything's coming in right now. Bernie is going to end up taking. Michigan.
Yeah, they've talked about this already. We are coming.
Oh yeah, we covered Michigan.
I'm jumping in late. Okay, sorry.
Just a little bit.
So
just
anyway,
just a tad.
So sorry, we jumped in late.
And I just want to report that I will be attending the Arapahoe County Convention this coming Saturday, starting at 7 a.m. So I will be glad to give a full report out of that process. I will be a Bernie delegate at the convention. So that is the next step in my political life at this point.
Cannot wait to hear all about that. That sounds amazing. Yeah.
That's going to be great. And our friend Nathan, you guys didn't really get to meet him, but Nathan, thank you so much. It was so great having you on. You brought a lot of great insights. And please, if you could, join us again sometime.
Oh, I will. Thank you very much for having me. It's quite refreshing. Speaking with you guys. Normally, in my day-to-day existence, I have long conversations with lots of Tea Partiers and good, strong Republicans. So
we got to get you on more.
It's good to speak with friends.
Well, we'll consider this therapy, and then your bill will be in the mail. So we're on with Will McLeod from Hopping Mad Tomorrow. We're on with Greg Dworkin, obviously, of Greg Dworkin Enterprises Incorporated, LLC, on Friday from Daily Kos. And a bunch of other stuff coming up. We're going to be on some other podcasts. We got all kinds of things in the pipeline. We are definitely, I think, going to live stream, if at all possible, a week from tonight for Super, Super Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be about it. We'll have the big sign-off here. As usual, I have been Travis.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Molly.
I'm Nathan. Surprise guest, Dana.
And then, go ahead, Nathan. We didn't.
And I'm Nate. Thank you.
All right, guys, as usual, stay active, stay tuned, stay involved. Yay, Bernie. Won a big one tonight. We'll see where this leads to. And that'll do it. Adios. Good night.